May it please God to bless us together this evening as we turn to the last few words in the Lord's Prayer. And they're contained in the 13th verse of the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. You may remember that last week, those of you who were here, we spoke on the first part of verse 13, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And the final words are, "For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever." Amen. They're very full words, aren't they, to tell us that these things are the Lord's. "For thine is the three things: the kingdom, the power, and the glory." And that not just for a short time, but forever. And then it's concluded with those words, "Amen. So let it be." Well, we should be thankful that we have such words before us, which concludes this prayer that the Lord set before the disciples, and to realize how important it is that we have a right recognition and realization of the truth of these words, and that the kingdom is the Lord's. The Lord is King of kings and Lord of lords. He rules over all the earth. People don't like to acknowledge it. They don't like to believe there is a God. But we're thankful there is a God who does rule, whether men like it or not. The Lord rules. And of course, not only in this world, but also, of course, there is that eternal kingdom where the Lord will reign eternally as the King of Kings for his people. And that surely is a wonderful and glorious position to be looking forward to. We see how fallen the world is, fallen nature, sinful it is. Although the Lord is in control of everything, we know that many things he allows and permits to bring down men. But we're thankful to be able to look ahead to the glorious kingdom which the Lord has prepared for his church, when all the things on this earth, indeed the whole universe, are completed and finished and no more need for them. "For thine is the kingdom." Now that should give us some peace in our hearts, to think that we have such a God who is the King, and no one can fight against this King and win the battle. We see so many occasions, even in the history of the Word of God, where there were those battles and the Lord helped, the Lord reigned, the Lord achieved the victory for his people. And this, of course, is not just in a natural way, but it's also in a spiritual way. To have that blessing, to know that the Lord reigns in our heart. The devil tries to creep in. He often does creep in, but he won't be able to become the king because he's vanquished. The battle has been fought and the Saviour has conquered. And so we should be thankful when we think of the kingdom of God which is within us. What an amazing thought that is. Sinful men and women, unworthy of the least favour. And yet to think this great God dwells within. Thine is the kingdom. How humbling surely this must be. You know, we should remember the words of David that were recorded many years ago, and they're recorded in the Chronicles, in the first book of the Chronicles, in the 29th chapter. And we read there where David was extolling the people, and he came and he spoke to them, and he said, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." This was, of course, towards the end of his life, and he'd witnessed the Lord's mercy and goodness toward him and to Israel. And therefore we can imagine here he is in his old age, Solomon's about to be made king, indeed made king for the second time. And therefore David extols the people to this end. And in this way he prays to God. And how true it is, and how good if you and I have a similar desire and similar prayers. We do come to a great God, and we are able, may we come in these words, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness." No one greater than our God. No one greater. And the power. All power belongeth unto God. And the glory. All the glory. All the glory is thine. And the victory. Yes, the Lord reigns. The Lord has conquered. The victory is his. And the majesty. What a majesty there is in this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth. Everyone is thine, all under the hand of this great God. And then he says, "Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Well, may God be exalted in our hearts tonight, as we may think of the greatness of our God in all that he's done in bringing his kingdom into our hearts, and to be found ruling there. What a wonderful blessing. How humbling to think that the great God takes up residence in our heart and leads us in the right way, the narrow way that leads to eternal life, to that day when we shall be with him in that kingdom of glory. And so not only for thine is the kingdom, but also and the power. Well, we see, we have seen in our lives the power of God exerted. We see it exerted in the records of Scripture on so many occasions. The power of God. What a wonderful thing it is to observe the power of God. Naturally, we can observe it when we see perhaps a thunderstorm and the thunder and lightning. Such power, poor man can't match that at all. And yet you see, our God reigns. But also, when we think of the power of God, when he comes and converts a sinner, it's his power. You and I can't produce that power. You and I can't produce that influence. But God does, and it's through his power. And that power is performed very often just by a spoken word. The Lord speaks, and it is done. There is power in the word. There is power in the blood, isn't there? There's power in the cleansing blood of Christ. And it's that blood that cleanseth. And that's why there is power in it. And what a blessing for us if we have some little indication of the wonderful blessing of forgiveness. And that forgiveness only comes about through the power of the shed blood. The power that was there when Christ died upon the cross at Calvary. When he gave up the ghost. It is finished. Yes, he finished the work his Father gave him to do. He conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. And there demonstrated on that cross was that divine power which Satan could not match and Satan could not touch. But what a great and blessed thing it is to have a realization of the wonderful power of our God in our own hearts that has changed us from walking in the ways of Satan, changed us to desire to walk in the ways of God and it is the power of God. And so thine is the power, and how remarkable and how wonderful when you and I have experienced it and are able to testify that it is of God and it is his power. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. I suppose how little we really appreciate the glory of God. And yet, how good it is to have a view like the apostle did when he wrote to the Corinthians, and he quoted those beautiful words, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness." What was that? The power of God hath shined in our hearts. What is that? The power of God to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's a tremendous expression, isn't it? The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That means the glory of God is revealed in the Saviour, revealed in that great work of salvation, revealed in that work the Father gave his Son to do, and revealed in the fact that his Son did not fail. He carried out that work, however hard it was, and therefore what glory there is in the Saviour. How worthy he is of all our praise and all our thanksgiving for all that he has done. Do we then, should we not, constantly desire to glorify his name? As I so often say, and how important it is, our lives, if we are the children of God, are for one purpose, and that is for the glory of God. It is to show forth his glory, to show forth what he has done in redeeming our souls, in saving us, delivering us from a lost eternity, and to bringing us to that good hope through his grace that it is well with our souls. And so we read these wonderful words, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever." And it's good to realize that these things are continual. Yes, they are those that are past, and they are those that are present, and there's that which is forever. The psalmist gives some good words in the 71st Psalm, and he speaks these words when he says, "But I will hope continually, and yet will I praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof." And he goes on to say, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God." What a blessed path that is. Not our strength. The strength of the Lord God, with a desire. And what's the desire? "I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only." Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth. What a blessing if we can say that to the glory of God. "And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works." Now you see the psalmist, he was now an old man. And he said, "Now also when I am old and grey-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." And then let's not forget, it will not cease. It is forever. The things of time will wear out. The things of time fade away. The things of time will perish. The things of time, there will be an end. But the things of God are forever. And what a consolation that should be for us. If God has blessed us with faith to believe his word, to realize that we can rest in the eternal promises of God. And here is one. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And then he says, Amen. We should not forget that. So let it be. It's good to conclude with Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he spoke of the need for this. And often we seem to ignore it. And yet, you know, the Apostle was concerned about it, and he spoke, and he said in the 15th verse of the 14th chapter, What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen? So quite clearly, all those of the learned who were gathered together would say, Amen. Clearly the disciples said, Amen. And so it's important really for us to follow the word of God and to say, Amen, when there are those prayers, when there are those statements which are in accordance of God's will and for his honour and glory, to say, Amen. Well, this prayer the Lord sets before us concludes with Amen. It's here surely an example for us all to join together. And so the Lord says, For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.